And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here's where we're going to start tonight on the Baseball Hour, and that is with the annual Major League trading deadline, which is now just 9 days away. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines right away. We're going to hope that they work, because we've had issues with the phones here of late. Again, the the company that made the programs from France, is that right? Is there some actual truth to that?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so
I'll accept that as fact now.
Yeah, so will I. We've been making cracks about this all week. We've had issues with the phone software. So we're going to try to get you on, though. And so let's open up the phone, 617-779-0985. The Major League trading deadline is 9 days away. The Red Sox did not play last night. They will resume their series with the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. Last night's game will be part of a makeup in August, as you just heard Jim Murray say a short time ago. Nonetheless, we are in the midst of an important stretch of games. The Red Sox will be back on the field tonight. Garrett Richards on the mound. We'll get to him in just a second. But I want to start with the deadline, because this really is the prevailing story with the Red Sox here as we approach July 30th. And the deadline is the 30th. It is a week from Friday. MLB did not want it on the weekend, so it's not the 31st. It is a week from Friday. So here is my question. First, let me ask a general question as it pertains to the deadline. And if Murray and Jimmy Stewart want to chime in, they can. If they don't, that's fine, too. But I'm really talking to you, the listener, the Red Sox fan. With regard to the deadline, what are your expectations? What do you think they're going to do? Not what you want them to do. What do you think they are going to do? And to me, there's a significant difference there. So I'm going to do something I don't usually do here, which is cite a comment from Tom Brady that Felger read earlier on the Felger and Mass show. And I actually don't have the exact comment in front of you, but I'll give you the general essence of it. Brady, in talking about teams that neglected to pursue him as a free agent last year, made a comment to the effect of, you know, I really thought people were smarter than what they are. I give them credit. They're dumber than I thought. To which I would say, I concur. Most people are dumb. In fact, I'm really starting to wonder whether Red Sox fans are stupid, because when I hear some of you call me every night with some of the names, you think that the Red Sox are going to get at the trading deadline. I feel like you're not paying attention, or that maybe you're one of those people who is dumber than they look. So can I read some of these names to you that's in this MLB story?
Oh, I know the names you're going to rattle off, Maz, and I think people are crazy to think that any of them are going to be end up coming here via the trade deadline to the Red Sox, because it's just the cost is going to be too much. But go ahead.
Okay, so there's a story in the MLB website today. If traded, these 10 players would create chaos. And here are the players on the list, and many of them are names that have been out there at this deadline as available because there are teams that are overhauling their rosters or aren't making the kind of run at contention that a lot of people would. So, Max Scherzer, number one. Chris Bryant, number two. Joey Gallo, number three. Byron Buxton of the Twins at number four. Trevor Story of the Rockies at number five. Nelson Cruz, DH, Twins, six. Craig Kimbrell, Josh Donaldson, Javier Baez, Starling Marte. Okay, all of these guys are good players. Every single one of them. Last night, I had someone call me again, and this has been a popular name too, throwing the name Anthony Rizzo at me. So now, in a perfect world, do I want the Red Sox to make a run at any one of the people on that list that I just read you, or at Anthony Rizzo, who's not on that list, but clearly is a darling of everybody in baseball? Again, honestly, I find Rizzo to be kind of annoying, but nonetheless, he's a good player.
But you understand, though, why that's the name that's hot with Red Sox fans right now, because first base is a black hole for this team currently.
Absolutely, Murray, 100%. Completely get it. I also think there's almost zero chance that you're getting Anthony Rizzo. Zero. So this is what I'm trying to tell you as fans out there. I want to know what your expectations are, because honestly, I don't think you're paying attention. I think you're downright clueless when it comes to this. Some of the names you're throwing out there are downright idiotic. Idiotic. And if they go get an Anthony Rizzo, then you can call me back on August 2nd or 3rd or whatever the hell it is and tell me how much of an idiot I am. I'm fine with that. I'm 100% fine with that. Because I think that the kind of deal that they're going to make at this deadline is going to be a much more conservative deal for lots of reasons. The number one being that I don't think the Red Sox are going to give up premium talent out of their minor league system, which is relatively thin to begin with, to make a deal for the now. They're not going to do it. Chaim Bloom has been saying it over and over and over again for anyone who wants to listen. What he has said is what we owe to our fan base is to be a championship contender every year. He was hired to rebuild the farm system from the inside out. In the last year, they've made a truckload of deals that have brought in minor league talent from other places and has started, emphasis, started to replenish the farm system. They just had the number four pick in the draft. They're getting to a stage where they're going to be respectable again in terms of player development soon. And they're going to go out at this deadline and all of a sudden trade away premium prospects for a rental like Anthony Rizzo? No effing way. No effing way. And if you think they're going to do that, you're an idiot. And now you want to tell me that you want them to do it. You think they're the Red Sox. And this was Adam Jones's argument last week. Adam Jones said, well, look, they're the Red Sox. They just got the number four pick. This kid, Tristan Cassius, that they drafted when Dombrowski was here, is an elite prospect. He'll be playing in the Olympics, by the way. So you can watch a little of him there. And if you've seen highlights of Cassius, you know he can hit. All legit criticisms. All legit beliefs that the Red Sox should be in the market for the best players when they're in the running for a division title and potentially a championship. Yes, yes, yes. They're not going to do it. Not this year. We'll see where we are a year from now. I would expect something more along the lines of a Nathan Eovaldi deal that they made back in 2018 or a Steve Pierce deal that they made in 2018. Both were significant contributors that addressed weaknesses on the club, but they weren't blockbusters. If you're expecting a blockbuster, I really do think you have your head buried in the ground and you're not listening. I don't think that is coming. But if you want to try to convince me of otherwise, fine. I would love for you to explain to me how you think that's going to happen when the whole reason Chaim Bloom is here is to rebuild the farm system. That's what I love. Would love for people to explain. So we'll start there, 617-779-0985. I want to get to Garrett Richards in the next segment. John Tomasi had an interesting column as it relates to the trade deadline. We'll touch on that, but we'll start with your calls, again, on the deadline and on the kind of trade you think the Red Sox are going
to
make.
Just quickly before you get to those calls.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
You did ask for our input, and I'm going to give you some input.
Hey, go.
I think you're crazy to think that it is going to be any of these splash names, Rizzo, any of the pieces are going to be stripped off from the Cubs, Scherzer, anything like that. Given how this team, you know, has defied expectations, they're in it, they could make a real run. I get why people would want a big name, but again, like you've explained, and like Chaim Bloom has explained, they're not going to make the big splash move. They're not going to gut the farm system for a name. So it's going to be like a, you know, I don't know, like a left-handed first baseman that you kind of might have heard before, like a Mitch Moreland type or something like that.
How about Carlos Santana, switch hitter who's right now on the Royals?
Okay, so that's a decent one.
Fine.
Jimmy, I will accept that as a viable option. I will, because Santana also has a year left on his deal, which is at like $10 million, I think, next year. And so, you know, the Red Sox don't, it doesn't feel like they have a real, I mean, Cassius could be a factor there. I think he's now playing first. He came up as a third baseman, but they moved him to the other side. So I think that Cassius could factor in at some point, but, you know, that is more reasonable to me. I will accept that as a legitimate suggestion. Don't give me Anthony Rizzo. Okay. Yeah. Like I don't mean you, Jimmy. I'm just mean in general.
Yeah. Just there's no shot. It's going to be guys you might have heard before, or unless you follow the league, you know, with a fine tooth comb, you definitely know them. But otherwise, like the casual fan is going to be like, huh? they're going to make moves. I think they will and should add someone to the rotation or add to the bullpen. And you need to have some insurance because at some point someone's going to go down with an injury. They've been very lucky there. And you need a utility infielder, someone else that can help you at first base. That's not going to be household names.
Yeah, I would expect smaller deals from players that aren't going to impress you, but that might be better than you think. That's what I think. Steve's in Carver. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, I know you always say horses, not ponies, but if I could choose at this deadline between a horse or a couple ponies, I'm taking those ponies. I look at the 2004 deadline, the 2018 deadline. You got ponies in those deadlines that no one really cared about at the time, but those guys were massive contributors to your team. And I look at this Red Sox team, they have the top-end talent, at least in their lineup, and I think that they need ponies in that lineup. They just need a guy at first base like Steve Pierce that can bat 250, not 210. They need a guy instead of Marwin Gonzalez that can bat 240 and play the outfield. I would take some ponies over horses because the Red Sox in the past have actually nailed those types of trades. And also, Maz, that the farm system is thin. I don't think you have what it takes to get Rizzo, so we might just be stuck with ponies regardless. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
I'll tell you what. I think they do have what it takes to get Rizzo. I think if you wanted to trade Tristan Cassius, you could get Rizzo. You want to trade the kid they just drafted, Marcelo Meyer, you could get Rizzo. To me, that's not the question. The question is then, where are you again as it pertains to rebuilding your operation? So they have the players to do it. And in his defense, this was Adam Jones's point. They have a couple of high-end prospects now. Between Marcelo Meyer and Tristan Cassius, that's two. You trade one of those guys, you can get a big piece. A big piece. I'm just telling you, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And you know what? Now that I think of it, we'll play the High and Bloom sound for you from earlier in the year. If you don't want to believe me, don't believe me. That's fine. I encourage you to do your own research. But we'll play the audio for you from High and Bloom earlier in the year. And I also want to get to Garrett Richards. Because you know what? With regard to something Garrett Richards said within the last month, I want to call bullcrap. Because I think the guy, honestly, I'm starting to think he's a liar, for lack of a better term. That's coming up next on the Baseball Hour.
Fastballs. Curveballs. And breaking balls.
Yeah.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. New name, same old Mass.
I know that's a big word the Red Sox like to use.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
As soon as I get to the field every day, I put sunscreen on. Well, now I can't do that. And on top of that, the only thing that's provided is the rosin bag on the back of the mound, which, to be honest with you, it's completely useless. It does nothing. It literally barely even dries up sweat. It might as well not even be there. I can't even think how many times over the entire course of my career that I've gone to the back of the rosin bag. I've been on mounds that didn't even have rosin bags on the back of the mound.
That's Red Sox pitcher Garrett Richards. He'll be back on the mound tonight. And I know Garrett Richards has been a punching bag for some of the things he said and just how unbelievably naive he's acted since the very beginning, and how much of a mental case he is. From the very beginning, bad weather. Well, I had to pack a rain jacket for the first time. And, dude, you're coming to New England. It's Major League Baseball. Like, the weather's going to throw you off, then you pick the wrong place. But that comment there, talking about the whole spider tack adhesive scandal in Major League Baseball, and I wanted to get to this because there's a story in the New York Times today that identifies the pitchers with the biggest decreases in spin rate on their fastball. So, theoretically, the guys who've been affected the most by the absence of adhesives on the mound. And then the list includes Trevor Bauer, Gerrit Cole, Walker Buehler of the Dodgers, and I'll just stop at Cole and Bauer. Okay, Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer. And Gerrit Cole was asked, if you remember, point blank about spider tech and stumbled and bumbled all over the place because he used it. He used it. Everybody thinks Trevor Bauer was using it. And in fact, I think most people still believe Trevor Bauer was using it. So Gary Richards says that he used sunscreen and a combination of sunscreen and rosin. And you know what? I don't know why I didn't say it this directly earlier. I think he's lying. I think what he's saying is, I think he was either using the spider tech, he was hardcore, or he was using the stuff that the guy in Anaheim had concocted and was handing out to people like Garrett Cole. The idea that it was just sunscreen and rosin for Richards, the more I think about it, I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a second. I think he was a hardcore spider tech guy. Again, or the stuff that the guy in Anaheim was making, the with Coca-Cola and all other kinds of crap and pine tar, and was boiling the Coke down and all just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. So otherwise, how do you become that much of a mental case if it's just sunscreen and rosin? Like he says, the rosin in and of itself with water is useless. So, and you heard him say it there. So I just, if you haven't read the Time story and you have access to it, I'd suggest you read it. I don't want to get into all the details with it. The Globe also had an interesting story recently where Manny Del Carmen and Lenny DiNardo used spider tech. Murray, did you see any of the video of these guys actually touching the substance?
Oh, yeah.
It was like...
It looks like hot tar.
Right. And when you pull your hands apart, like if you put glue between your hands, and remember like the Three Stooges, the pie would hang from the ceiling?
Yes.
And you'd see all these like, what looked like glue hanging from the ceiling? That's what this looks like when they went to grab the baseball. You got to see these this stuff. And in the case of Lenny DiNardo and Del Carmen, they threw some of the pitches. The ball went right into the ground because they couldn't get it to release from their fingers. So the Gary Richards with the spider tech, I'm sorry. Or with the sunscreen and the rosin, I don't buy it. I think he was using something way stronger than that. So we'll see how he gets through it here over the balance of the year. And someone pointed this out to me. There was a rainout last night, but Chris Sale is lined up to pitch last night on the same day that Garrett Richards was. So make whatever judgment you want. That when Chris Sale is ready, he's taking Garrett Richards' spot. That's certainly what it feels like. But I do want to get back to the trading deadline, and more importantly, what your expectations are for the kind of deal you think the Red Sox are going to make. Okay, because some people, I think, are aiming way too high, and I think Bob and Needham might be one of them. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I have none. I have zero expectations. I'm just saying, if you said they're going to sell out for the, they're not going to cut the five. I'm just saying your opinion. If they traded the guy they drafted for, the guy from the Olympic team, and Gina Downs, I mean, would you do that for Scherzer for 2 months? I mean, I would, but I have no expectations. I think they're going to sit pat. They're so concerned about the luxury tax ceiling and all that nonsense that they cry poor mouth every time you look around. They're crying poor mouth, even though they the highest prices of anybody in the league for everything. So I don't know how that jives, but I know I have no expectations. I'm just saying I would strike, if I could strike those three to get like a Scherzer for 2 months, I would do it. But I'm sure you're right. They're going to get some middle reliever that nobody's ever heard of. That would be my expectation as well. But I'm just saying I would strike higher because you might as well take a shot for it this year if you can. Because Murray said, I have no expectations for Garrett Richards for the rest of the season. I have none. So I would go higher. But you guys are probably, I know you're right. So they're going to sit pat and get two middle of the road guys for peanuts. And then that's when they're going to say, well, we did something. But,
okay. Okay.
I would hope they went higher.
Okay. So Bob, I'm going to let you go. Look, I would love for them to go higher. Like if I ask you point blank and get Scherzer's a bit of a tricky one because of the whole spider tech thing, that Scherzer was having some difficulty there too, in the absence of adhesives. So, is Scherzer going to be the same guy? This is another thing that complicates the deadline. I don't know. But let's just say that he is. If you add Max Scherzer to this team, I think you can win it. And he's the Max Scherzer that we've seen in the past.
They absolutely could.
I think you could win it if you add Max Scherzer. They're not going to do that. And on some level, that does suck. Because the Red Sox should never be in a spot where they can't make a trade because they're too worried about the impact on the farm system. They should never be in that spot. The fact that they are is gross negligence. Okay, so again, what you should bitch about is the fact that they're in this spot, that they drafted so poorly and had some bad international free agent signings and some bad luck. Some of that too. but they made some bad decisions along the way that affected their ability to make moves now. That's what should piss you off. Brent's in Somerset. Go ahead, Brent.
Hello?
Yes, Brent, what do you got? Can you roll up your window?
Yeah, sorry. My expectation is not. I don't think the Red Sox are going to get anyone, to be honest with you. I think they think Chris Sale is going to be enough, and I think that they think Dalbec is going to be just fine. What I hope they get is Jesus Aguilar from Miami. I really like him, and obviously I was really hoping they'd try to get Kimbrel back, but I doubt any of that is going to happen.
Okay, you can have Craig Kimbrel. I have no interest in Craig Kimbrel whatsoever. In fact, you know, to me, that's another heart attack waiting to happen in the late innings of a game. So, but I don't think they're going to do nothing. I don't think it's a zero. I don't think they're just going to wait on Chris Sale. I think that Bloom's going to do something. Is it going to be something big? Is it going to be Scherzer? No. But when they got Eovaldi, I was woefully unimpressed. I looked at it and said, you got to be kidding me. Nathan Eovaldi is their answer? That one turned out pretty well. So if you're telling me that Chaim Bloom has got some sort of knack, in fact, they got him from Tampa. So if Chaim Bloom has some sort of knack that they can identify a guy and they can say, no, there's actually untapped ability there that that guy can help you if you use him right. Nick Pivetta has given that given them that to a certain degree. Hell, I'd even tell you Martin Perez has given them that to a certain degree. And if you want to augment Sale, Chris Sale, with that kind of guy, fine. Now we're talking. Okay, I'm okay with that sort of logic. Give me some numbers, Sale being part of a group, and I get it. I would rather have Max Scherzer, but I just know they're not going to do it. So I have a hard time getting riled up at the fact that they're not going to get Max Scherzer when I know it's not going to happen. I just know they're not going that road. I know it. So it'll be something less. And I'm eager. I'll tell you, if there were those of you out there that can tell me the kind of guys that you think can help, that are under the radar guys, if you could have predicted Nate Eovaldi before Nate Eovaldi happened, I'd love to hear what your prediction is now. I want to know. But I don't think it's going to be any sort of blockbuster. And one more thing. The caller said something about Dalbec. I don't think they're all in on Dalbec. I think you're already seeing that Dalbec's losing at bats to right-handed pitching and that they are looking for something to augment first base because, as Murray said earlier, that is the obvious need. We'll continue with your calls on the deadline because I am eager to hear what people expect from the Red Sox at the deadline. And you heard Bob and Nita mention the luxury tax. John Tomasi of NBC Sports wrote about this. The impact of the luxury tax on the deadline. So I have a question for Red Sox fans with regard to that luxury tax. Luxury tax versus prospects is my question to you when we come back. We'll touch on that after Murray gets you caught up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a tough tightrope to walk, but it's where we want to be. Ideally, we have that tightrope that we're walking every year where, you know, if we want to keep ourselves out of the basement, we have to make sure that no matter how good we are, we're never just throwing away our future. Otherwise, you know, you get what you would expect to get if you do that. So that's always a tightrope that we expect to have to walk. It's where we want to be. It's a heck of a lot better than selling off pieces because you have no chance.
So what you have there is one of the many comments from Chaim Bloom over the last few months, articulating why the Red Sox are not going to mortgage their future. So I don't know how many times Bloom can say it, and yet people will still say, well, go get Anthony Rizzo. Not going to happen. The other thing that Bloom has said that I noted when he said it was that ideally they'd be willing to give up a little more for someone that they could keep for any length of time. So I would focus on players who are undervalued and who have term on their deals. And if you can find that kind of player out there who's got a year or two left on his contract, isn't going to be a free agent in the fall, then maybe you'll find Chaim Bloom willing to give up a little bit more to get him. And I still don't think it's going to be Tristan Cassius or Marcelo Meyer. I don't think I'm not even sure you can trade Meyer at all, frankly. I mean, you just drafted him. I think there's a rule against trading guys you just drafted. So I should know that off the top of my head. I don't. But I'm not expecting any sort of blockbuster deal with the Red Sox. Now, the money that they take on is a different story, but I'll get to that in 1 second because John Tomasi made an interesting point today on NBC Sports Boston. First, Steven is in Fall River. Steven, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Mass. Real quick with the Max Scherzer stuff, I know you said that a lot of people are worried about him the 3 months. He did. Scott Boras said, I think it was on the 28th, that he would sign with a team that he would get traded, like he would move his non-trade clause. But my thing is I've seen that the Houston Astros and I think the Dodgers are interested in getting him. I want the Red Sox to at least do something because these are some of the teams that they're going to have to face in the postseason. And if these teams get like guys like that, it might make it harder for them to compete with those teams in the playoffs. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so Steven, that might make it harder. It will make it harder. And again, I think this is something that you have to factor in. So do the Red Sox look at it, rightly or wrongly, do they look at it and say, we're overachieving to begin with? And let me just tell you, can I get this off my chest too? I don't agree with this sort of mentality. Okay, you have special years where things go right and you end up winning. 2013 is the perfect example of it. And so to abandon those teams is a bad message. You have to do something to help the club. You have to. It sends a horrible message to your clubhouse. If Chaim Bloom does nothing here, shame on him. So now, but again, will they make any sort of blockbuster? No. Are the other teams in the league all going to get better? Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And they might be more inclined to give up prospects because they have a chance to win another title and capitalize on a group of young players that they have that they've built to reach this point. So again, the Dodgers are built to win now. The Astros are built to win now. When Altuve came up, when Correa came up, and Bregman came up, the whole idea was when we have to pay those guys, we will, and when we have the chance to win, we'll add. The Red Sox aren't in that spot. So this year kind of came out of the woodwork, and I would love to see them go get Max Scherzer. I would love it. But I just don't have any real belief that they're going to do it. Before I get back to the calls, let me bring up this thing by this item that John Tomasi wrote today. The headline of which is this: Tomasi, : luxury tax excuse won't fly for Red Sox at trade deadline. And John Tomasi then goes and points out that the Red Sox are up against the luxury tax deadline of $210 million. And let me just also tell you that last year, the Red Sox did get under the luxury tax threshold and reset their tax penalties. So let me ask you this as a fan. What puts you off more? That the Red Sox aren't willing to trade an elite prospect to get an impact player at this deadline when they have a chance to win it all, or that they won't take on any money at this deadline because they want to stay under the luxury tax threshold? Jimmy Stewart, do you want to answer that question first? Do you care?
I hope that they don't stay under the luxury tax. I want them to go for it because it's so hard to get into the tournament and have a chance to go deep into the tournament. And if Alex Cora says that their expectations are the World Series now, you got to help this team. You need a first baseman, you need a starting pitcher, and you need a bullpen arm. Go get all three of them. You can do it.
Okay.
I find both equally annoying because the last thing I ever want to hear the Red Sox whining about is money.
So, Murray, honestly, this one would piss me off to no end. The prospect thing I get. The whole idea is we brought in Chaim Bloom to do this. We're now starting to rebuild the thing and get some players out of it. And you want us to strip mine the thing and put us right back in the same spot? We're not going to do it. That I get. I do think you have to have a good farm system. I think the Red Sox have to rebuild it to that. It doesn't mean they can't make a deal now. It just means they probably can't make a big deal right now. But the money? Oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that, and neither do you if you're a fan. In fact, not only do I think the Red Sox should go over the luxury tax, I'll be pissed if they don't. I think they should use it to their advantage. If you have to take a bad contract in order to get another talent because you don't want to give up a prospect, buy the player. Use your money as leverage. Use it as an advantage. Go to a team and say, well, give us a bad contract and we'll take, you know, and we'll agree on the deal. We'll give you a little bit lesser of a prospect, but you can dump someone else on us. Use the money to your advantage. The talent, the prospects in your system are worth way more than money. Way more. Don't be stupid. Use your money as an advantage. The luxury tax should be a complete non-factor at this deadline. If the Red Sox try to feed you that as an excuse, that's exactly what it is. It's an excuse. Brian's in a truck. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Maz. I got two names for you on the Texas Rangers, and the first one is Nate Lowe. And, you know, Chaim had him down with the Rays, so he has some, like, intimate knowledge there. And the second one is Colby Allard. And, you know, he was kind of a big-time prospect with the Braves. And I would be willing to give up, like, a Jeter Downs type for both and not for one. But I think both those guys would be good, solid additions.
Okay, so, Brian, don't hang up. Tell me, what are they pitchers? Okay. Are they positional players? I don't know who these guys are.
Yeah, so Allard is a pitcher. He's probably, like, 3 years in. Decent, and then Lowe's the first baseman. He's actually having like a decent year. He's got like 12 home runs, and just it's like a Pierce deal back in the day for me that they added that year.
Okay, so these sound like more realistic names to me. And Lowe, I have some recollection of Lowe. I think you said he played with the Rays in the past, so I think I know the guy you're talking about. And I'll look these guys up again. I'm not telling you. I could even tell you what kind of years they're having, but these are the kinds of guys that I think the Red Sox are going to be looking at. It's those kinds of players. And they will. I want pitching. I don't want just Chris Sale to be the answer on the mound. I think that's risky business. And for those of you who weren't necessarily with us last night, we'll update you on what the latest is on Chris Sale. I think, again, there is a clear timeline with the player, which we will try to bring into greater focus. I'll look up the players the caller just said during the break, and we'll get back to your phone calls when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Whether it's happening on the field or off, Mass is talking about it.
What should we expect from Alex Cora's Red Sox in 2021?
The Baseball Hour on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, today was a good day. Definitely a step in the right direction. Felt good throughout the entire game. You know, even in the third and fourth inning running back out there, it felt like I was able to, you know, create some arm speed and make pitches when I need to, which, you know, at this stage in the game is key.
Red Sox pitcher Chris Sale, after his outing at Double A Portland last night, 49 pitches, 3 2/3 innings. I think Sale struck out 6, walked 1. I was listening to Alex Cora's media session before tonight's game with Toronto, and Cora indicated that Sale was sort of a little out of whack delivery-wise early in that game last night. He said this is part of the process. So you look at the numbers, you think Sale pitched really well. And the velocity was good. He hit 97 a handful of times, pitched in the mid-90s, all of which is a good sign. I still tell you to focus on the number of pitches because that is what is going to tell you when he is coming back. And look, if the velocity drops or something like that, then that to me suggests that there's some sort of problem. And if that's the case, it's over anyway. Okay, it's over. But the pitch count, if everything goes well, the pitch count will tell you when he's coming back. He started at 39. The plan last night was to get him to 50 or 55. He got to 49, and they didn't have him face another batter. They pulled him out in the middle of the inning. So they're being cautious. They are erring on the side of getting him out a batter too early versus a batter too late. Normally in that sort of situation with a guy in a rehab, you'd say, okay, well, you let him finish the inning. One more batter, he'll get the next out, and that'll be it. They didn't do that with Sale. But I think that in the minors, they got to get him up to around 85 pitches before they'll bring him to the big leagues. So, again, he went 39-49. If it goes only 10 in the next two, and it's 59 and then 69, he's going to need another start down there. I thought about four starts, maybe five, depending on how it went. So he's at two, and right now I'd say he's somewhere in the middle of that. It's unclear to me whether they're going to need that fifth outing yet. They may try to push him a little bit, one of these next two starts. But he's got to get up to 80, 85 pitches before they're going to bring him to the big leagues. Because if you go on that progression, he gets to 80 or 85, then he can go to 95 or 100 in the big leagues, and now you're in business. Okay, so he doesn't need to throw 95 or 100 pitches, not miles per hour. He doesn't need to get to that pitch count in the minor leagues, because, again, as they're ramping him up, you just have to get on about 80 or 85 pitches, and then you can bump him up to the big leagues. And based on how Sale's pitching, should you be encouraged? Yes, absolutely. Of course, no setbacks so far. No setbacks. It feels like all systems go. That's a good sign. He's going to go again on Sunday. They're going to give him 5 days of rest. He'll pitch on Sunday. So right now, everything headed in the right direction. But the slightest hiccup or bump will derail the whole thing. They're not going to mess with it. With a guy coming back from Tommy John with a major surgery. Not going to do it. Zach's in a car. Go ahead, Zach.
How's it going? I think coming in at the deadline, the biggest thing Haim's going to be looking for, you touched on earlier, years under control and undervalue, but mainly versatility, too, in terms of multiple positions. A couple of names to keep an eye out, West Coast to Arizona, Ketel Marte. He's an outfielder. He played a little infield in the minors. He's under control for a year and a half, very good bat. And then Eduardo Escobar, who was just an all-star. He's in the last year of his contract. He's over 30 years old. They could sell him for pretty low. Hit over 30 home runs in 2019. He's in the 20s right now this year.
Hey, Zach, just real quick, does Marte play first base?
Marte does not play first base. He plays middle infield and he plays outfield.
Okay, so look, I like the versatility too. I think that they do have a specific need at first base. And ideally, they want a left-handed bat there. So I know of Marte. I mean, I'm not that oblivious. I'm oblivious to some of the guys on the bad teams and lesser-known markets. So I know a little bit of Marte's history. The two guys on the Rangers that a previous caller mentioned, Allard and Lowe, they feel like the kind of players the Red Sox would be looking at. Allard feels like a little more of a lefty specialist to me than he does a starter. So I don't know if he's a perfect fit, but Lowe is a left-handed hitting first baseman who hits right-handed pitching pretty well. That's exactly the kind of guy that I think they want to pair with Dahlbeck. He's relatively low-cost player, and you'd have some control over him. So I think that that is the kind of player they'd be looking at. And I just give you that as an example. Tyler is in Leicester. Tyler, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Hey, what do you got?
For taking my call, Mads. I appreciate it. I just want to talk about the lineup real quick. How do you have a day off yesterday and then that debacle in New York, and now you go with a lineup that has Dahlbeck, Chavis, and Santana in the lineup? That's just inexcusable to me. And I love Cora, but it's unbelievable. I'll listen off air. Thanks, Maz.
Okay, so Tyler, thank you for the call. And honestly, I'm ashamed to say I haven't even looked at the starting lineup tonight. So maybe Jimmy Stewart can help me with this a little bit. But I don't, my guess is that Cora had predetermined what his lineup was going to look like on the last day of this series, independent of the rain last night. And because, Cora tends to be a big picture kind of guy. And, they have this finale and then they come home. It's a travel day. They come home and they play the Yankees for 4 days.
So Duran and Verdugo aren't in it. You just want me to run through it 1 through 9?
Okay, Robbie Ray is a lefty, though, correct?
Yes.
For Toronto?
Yeah, he is.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah, go ahead quickly, Murray. It'd be great.
Hernandez, Danny Santana, Xander Bogaerts, Devers batting fourth, J.D. Martinez, Hunter Renfro, Vasquez seventh, Bobby Dalbec eighth, Michael Chavis is batting ninth.
Okay, and what's 1-2 again, Murray? Who's at the top?
Hernandez and Santana.
Okay, so Santana's the switch. So,
Verdugo can't hit lefties, so that's why he's not in.
Yeah, right. And my guess is that if we looked it up, right-handers are way better against Robbie Ray than they are. So the difference in OPS is about 200 points, right-handers versus left-handers with Robbie Ray. So, honestly, I don't have a huge problem with it.
Right. Blind squirrel found a nut the other day with Santana hitting that home run, too.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with it. I mean, again, this is sort of what the Red Sox were going to be this year. There's going to be a lot of mixing and matching in there, and people are probably pissed off that Duran's not playing because they want to see Duran, which I get. And also, I would tell you, Duran hit lefties in the minors. Now, Ray might be a different kind of animal. I'm not overly upset at that. You know, my guess is you could see any one of those guys play in the later innings tonight. And this, again, this is who the Red Sox are now. In the past, this might have annoyed me a little bit more. If you had told me Bogarts was out, Martinez was out, Renfro wasn't playing because Cora wanted to give him a day off at the end of the road trip, I'd say, you just had the All-Star break. What the hell are you doing? But if it's Verdugo, who hasn't hit lefties, and you get some righties that might be able to do some damage against this guy, I say roll the dice. See how it goes in the early part of the game, and then if you get him out of there and you need the lefties for the late innings, you got him there. That's just my 2 cents.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.